This is KBNF Regional News. I'm Patricia Naft. It's Monday, February 17th. A private aircraft carrying three people was found crashed into a cliff band 1 mile west of Telluride Regional Airport late Sunday afternoon. There were no survivors. The Beechcraft Bonanza took off from the Telluride Regional Airport runway 27 at 11:20 Sunday morning en route to Cortez in light snow with 1 mile visibility and calm winds. A focused search coordinated by the San Miguel County Sheriff's Office began at approximately 12:40 p.m. when air traffic control in both Telluride and Denver airports lost contact with the aircraft. The last communication with the pilot was with the Telluride air traffic control from the runway upon takeoff. San Miguel County Sheriff's deputies, searching in a contracted helicopter, located the aircraft at approximately 5:17 p.m., crashed into a cliff band 1 mile from the runway where it had departed. Units were immediately dispatched to the scene, where it was confirmed by deputies there were no survivors. This is certainly not the outcome we were hoping for. It's just a terrible, terrible tragedy, San Miguel County Sheriff Bill Masters said. Recovery efforts will begin today. The San Miguel County Coroner's Office will release the names of the victims following notification of next of kin. The Federal Aviation Administration is sending crews in to investigate. For the second time this week, Democrats at the State House have struck down a GOP measure to repeal a 15-round limit on high-capacity magazines. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The attempt came from Republican Senator Bernie Herpin of Colorado Springs. Herpin replaced former Senate President John Morse in a recall election over stricter gun laws. During Wednesday's hearing, Democrats defended the law, saying a 15-round limit protects the public. Senator Irene Aguilar of Denver made reference to the Aurora Theater shooting.
In fact, this law would have stopped James Holmes from purchasing a 100-round magazine.
But Senator Herpin argues that a magazine restriction could have actually made the Aurora Theater shooting worse.
As it turned out, that was maybe a good thing that he had a 100-round magazine because it jammed. If he had instead had 4, 5, 6, 15-round magazines, no telling how much damage you could have done until a good guy with a gun showed up.
The gun debate has not drawn as much attention this session compared to last year. Democrats who hold the majority in both chambers have pledged to keep all the gun laws in place. Last week, Republicans failed to repeal a law on universal background checks for gun purchases. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The U.S. Department of Justice says Colorado banks can now do business with marijuana dispensaries. That's according to the Denver Post. When recreational marijuana sales began on January 1st, dispensaries could only deal in cash because they didn't have access to bank accounts. That's because marijuana is still illegal under federal law, so banks have to file a suspicious activity report whenever they suspect a transaction is related to the drug trade. But now, banks can choose between two types of reports, one for legal marijuana dispensaries and one for suspected illegal drug sales. That will allow dispensaries to open bank accounts instead of keeping lots of cash around at all times. Colorado's Marijuana Business Association would still like Congress to pass a bill that would cement the new protections in law. Friday's changes could be overturned at any time. High schoolers in Montrose will now need to take a workforce readiness class in order to graduate. The Montrose Press says reports that the county school board made the change last week. The new class will prepare high school juniors for standardized tests and college applications. It will also focus on writing resumes and job options for students who choose not to go to college. School counselors will teach the new classes, which are worth half a credit. Students will now need 24 and a half credits to graduate. There isn't enough natural gas in the Thompson Divide to make it worth drilling. That's the conclusion of a report by consultants hired by the Thompson Divide Coalition, an anti-drilling group based in Carbondale. The coalition has been trying to buy oil and gas leases from drilling companies operating in the Divide. A vast area of public lands between McClure Pass and Sunlight Mountain Resort near Glenwood Springs. An industry group, however, says there aren't enough facts to say if the Thompson Divide leases would be a bust, and it accuses the coalition of being disingenuous about its intentions. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher has more.
The report is by Denver-based MHA Petroleum Consultants. Zane Kessler is executive director of the Thompson Divide Coalition. He says not many firms wanted to review natural gas possibilities in the divide on behalf of an environmental group.
It was difficult to find somebody, but MHA was willing to take a look at it, and they told us at the very beginning, we have to do an objective analysis, and you may not be happy with the findings of this research.
After 10 months of crunching the data, analysts found there wasn't much natural gas to be found in certain leases owned by operators SG Interests and URSA.
Any attempts to find and exploit natural gas resources in the Thompson Divide will likely fail in a commercial sense, and would also leave lasting visual scars on a pristine landscape.
That was after considering capital costs, mitigation for wetlands, and other factors. Kessler says the report backs up what his group has believed all along.
There's a reason these leases sold for $2 an acre, while leases in the heart of the Piance Basin, closer to Rifle or on the Roan Plateau, sold in some cases for up to $20,000 an acre.
Kessler couldn't say what the price tag was for the report. It was largely funded by grant money through the Aspen Skiing Company and the Environment Foundation. The Thompson Divide Coalition's main goal is to protect that land by purchasing drilling leases. And Kessler says the results of the recent report are key to what the organization does next.
We've been at the negotiating table with industry for over a year now. Those negotiations have proven to be difficult because we couldn't just take the industry's word for it on their valuation. We're working to approach these negotiations in as businesslike a fashion as possible. We needed to know what the assets we're negotiating over were worth on the open market.
This is merely self-serving gimmickry that's meant to devalue the property rights of our member companies.
David Ludlam is executive director of the West Slope Colorado Oil and Gas Association. He says the consulting firm that did the report is trustworthy, but disagrees with how the coalition is reading the results.
We take issue into the fact that the report acknowledges that there's not enough information to calculate what the potential of the Mancos and Niobrara shales are in western Colorado.
And proof of that wild card is that the Colorado well producing the biggest volume of natural gas is in the Mancos Shale near Rifle. Ludlam believes the coalition's publicizing of the new report is a sign the group doesn't actually want to purchase drilling rights, and definitely not at market prices.
If this report was supposed to identify a value to these leases that they could use in negotiations, why was it sent out as a press release to every media outlet in western Colorado before the companies had a chance to even look at it or talk to the Thompson Divide about it?
If they're truly interested in purchasing leases at a fair price, Ludlam believes the Thompson Divide Coalition would have brought the report to future meetings and presented it
over the negotiating table with the companies that actually own and have placed their own value on these assets. That's why they purchased them.
Responding to the allegations, the coalition's executive director, Zane Kessler, says his group alerted leaseholders 6 months ago that the group planned to get an outside review on the volume of natural gas in the Thompson Divide. The coalition also provided a copy of the recent report to drilling companies a day before releasing it to the public. Elise Thatcher, Aspen Public Radio News.
Since that report came out, the city of Glenwood Springs joined Carbondale and Pitkin County in asking the BLM not to renew leases for two gas companies operating on Thompson Divide. The city cited a second report, this one by an engineering firm in Golden, that found the cost of building roads into the divide was too expensive to justify drilling. The leases are set to expire in April unless the BLM renews them. Stay tuned for the Monday morning music mix with The Hurricane. For KVNF Regional News, I'm Patricia Naft.